content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, July 28th through Sunday, August 3rd, 2025. The commentary for July was written by Roger Hutchison, an award-winning author, illustrator, and lay ministry leader in the Episcopal Church. Roger is known for his compassionate work with children affected by tragedy and for his openness about his journey with ADHD, anxiety, and depression. He is author of 9 books, and his paintings appear on the covers of the 2025 Forward Day by Day booklets. The commentary for Monday, July 28th, begins with a passage from Psalm 57, verses 8 and 9. Wake up, my spirit, awake, lute and harp. I myself will waken the dawn. I will confess you among the peoples, O Lord. I will sing praise to you among the nations. I grew up with music all around me, including the inspiring work of Johann Sebastian Bach. His compositions for voice, keyboard, and orchestra, such as the Brandenburg Concertos, Goldberg Variations, Mass in B Minor, and Well-Tempered Clavier, are incredible. Nearly 300 years after his death, his music continues to captivate audiences with its fantastic sound, deep emotions, and unique style. Bach's ideas and notes have found their way into a diverse range of more contemporary artists, from the Beatles and the Beach Boys to Eminem and Lady Gaga. In addition to his magnificent talent for creating music, I have always admired Bach for his approach to his creative pursuit. He saw his music as a form of praise to God rather than a means of self-glorification. Bach offers a wonderful reminder as I explore my creative pursuits of painting, writing, and photography. Offering these works from a position of praise and honor has brought me closer to God. Now I'm going to read the entire passage from Psalm 57. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until the destroying storms pass by. I cry to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame those who trample on me. God will send forth His steadfast love and His faithfulness. I lie down among lions that greedily devour human prey. Their teeth are spears and arrows, their tongues sharp words. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my soul. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness extends to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. And the moving forward question for this Monday, July 28th, is how can you praise and honor God through your creative work, be it writing or knitting, designing or woodworking, or any other pursuits. Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, July 29th, the day on which we commemorate Mary and Martha of Bethany. It begins with a passage from Psalm 61, verse 4. I will dwell in your house forever. I will take refuge under the cover of your wings. As I was navigating my way through the early stages of learning how to be in this world with ADHD, anxiety, and depression, my wife, Kristen, wanted me to be able to look at myself and my body and know that spring comes, that the resurrection is real, and that I am loved. She suggested I get a tattoo after I got over my concern that I was neither rebellious nor cool enough for a tattoo. I spent countless hours searching, imagining, and envisioning what I could get as a tattoo that would be on my body for the rest of my life. Ultimately, I decided on a bluebird, always a glorious sign of the return of spring. More recently, I added the word abide, which has a similar meaning to the word dwell appearing in today's psalm. To dwell or abide is profoundly intimate and personal, and to dwell in God's love is where I want to be. And now I'm going to read the full psalm, number 21. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you are my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me abide in your tent forever. Find refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. So I will always sing praises to your name as I pay my vows day after day. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, what images remind you of the indwelling of God's love? The commentary for Wednesday, July 30th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 50. For they all saw him and were terrified, but immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." This Wednesday, July 30th, is the day we remember William Wilberforce. Here's the commentary. Do not be afraid. Storms rage around us. Political storms, gun violence, abuse of power, addiction of all kinds, violence against women, violence against children, violence against lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. Violence against those who worship differently or who look different from us. The news is crushing. It breaks our collective hearts, and hopelessness weighs us down. Shortly after the tragic events of 9/11, I wrote the following words. They still hold true today. When tragedy strikes, we pray that there might be survivors, bruised and battered hands reaching into the dark to grasp the hand of one of the missing. We must continue to reach out away from ourselves into the quagmire of fear and disbelief where there is no hope. Our hands must reach into that terrifying place where we must hang on for life. In that place of twisted metal and shattered dreams, we see another hand reaching towards us, open, strong, forgiving, pierced. Reach out and take that hand and hold on for dear life. And now I'm going to read the passage from today's Gospel from Mark chapter 6, verses 47 through 56. When evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. When he saw that they were straining at the oars against an adverse wind, he came towards them early in the morning, walking on the sea. He intended to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The moving forward question for this Wednesday, how do you heed Jesus' advice to not be afraid? Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, July 31st. It begins with a passage from Psalm 74, verse 18. "Do not hand over the life of your dove to wild beasts. Never forget the lives of your poor." Today we remember Ignatius of Loyola. This passage from Psalm 74 resonates deeply with me. It's a powerful reminder of the importance of protecting and caring for the vulnerable and innocent. The vivid imagery of protecting the innocent from harm compels us to take action and defend those who may feel abandoned, unloved, and without a voice. In this wild world, we must activate our voices, passion, and sense of justice to share compassion and empathy toward those most in need. Jesus protected and cared for the vulnerable and innocent. As the hands and heart of Jesus, we are all called to do the same. And together, we can make a difference. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Psalm 74. O God, why do you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation which you acquired long ago, which you redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage. Remember Mount Zion, where you came to dwell? Direct your steps to the perpetual ruins. The enemy has destroyed everything in the sanctuary. Your foes have roared within your holy place. They set up their emblems there. At the upper entrance, they hacked the wooden trellis with axes. And then with hatchets and hammers, they smashed all its carved work. They set your sanctuary on fire. They desecrated the dwelling place of your name, bringing it to the ground. They said to themselves, "We will utterly subdue them." They burned all the meeting places of God in the land. We do not see our emblems. There is no longer any prophet, and there is no one among us who knows how long. How long, O God, is the foe to scoff? Is the enemy to revile your name forever? Why do you hold back your hand? Why do you keep your hand in your bosom? Yet God, my King, is from old, working salvation in the earth. You divided the sea by your might. You broke the heads of the dragons in the waters. You crushed the heads of Leviathan. You gave him as food for the creatures of the wilderness. You cut openings for springs and torrents. You dried up every flowing streams. Yours is the day. Yours also is the night. You established the luminaries and the sun. You have fixed all the bounds of the earth. You made summer and winter. Remember this, O Lord, how the enemy scoffs and an impious people reviles your name. Do not deliver the soul of your dove to the wild animals. Do not forget the life of your poor forever. Have regard for your covenant, for the dark places of the land are full of the haunts of violence. Do not let the downtrodden be put to shame. Let the poor and needy praise your name. Rise up, O God, plead your cause. Remember how the impious scoff at you all day long. Do not forget the clamor of your foes, the uproar of your adversaries that goes up continually. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, the last day of the month of July: who needs protecting and compassion in your community? How can you take action today? And now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, August 1st, the day on which we commemorate Joseph of Arimathea. It begins with a passage from Acts chapter 17, verses 6 and 7. These people who have been turning the world upside down have come here also, saying that there is another king named Jesus. After Paul and Silas argue in the synagogue that Jesus is the Messiah, an angry mob becomes enraged. They implore the authorities to arrest the two, along with Jason, the one who has housed them. They claim that Paul and his followers have turned the world upside down. Yet Paul and the others, facing arrest and possible execution, courageously persist in upending things with their preaching. Another courageous figure is Joseph of Arimathea, whom we remember today. Not much is known about this secret disciple, except that when the other disciples hide in fear after Jesus' crucifixion, Joseph steps forward boldly. He asks Pilate for Christ's body and offers his own recently excavated tomb as a burial place. After laying Jesus' linen-wrapped body in the tomb, Joseph is the one who rolls the stone over the opening. Joseph's compassion and generosity ensure that Jesus receives a proper burial in a sanctified place, from which, as the Messiah, he will rise from the dead and turn the world upside down. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 15. After Paul and Silas had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days argued with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, "This is the Messiah, Jesus, whom I am proclaiming to you." Some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews became jealous, and with the help of some ruffians in the marketplaces, they formed a mob and set the city in an uproar. While they were searching for Paul and Silas to bring them out to the assembly, they attacked Jason's house. When they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some believers before the city authorities, shouting, "These people who have been turning the world upside down have come here also, and Jason has entertained them as guests. They are all acting contrary to the decrees of the emperor, saying that there is another king named Jesus." The people and the city officials were disturbed when they heard this, and after they had taken bail from Jason and the others, they let them go. That very night, the believers sent Paul and Silas off to Beroea, and when they arrived, they went to the Jewish synagogue. These Jews were more receptive than those in Thessalonica, for they welcomed the message very eagerly and examined the scriptures every day to see whether these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, including not a few Greek women and men of high standing. But when the Jews of Thessalonica learned that the word of God had been proclaimed by Paul in Beroea as well, they came there too to stir up and incite the crowds. Then the believers immediately sent Paul away to the coast, but Silas and Timothy remained behind. Those who conducted Paul threw him as far as Athens, and after receiving instructions to have Silas and Timothy join him as soon as possible, they left him. And the moving forward question for this Friday, August 1st, in what ways have you turned the world upside down by proclaiming to others that Christ is the risen Lord? The commentary for Saturday, August 2nd, begins with a passage from Psalm 75, verses 6 to 7a. For judgment is neither from the east nor from the west, nor yet from the wilderness or the mountains. It is God who judges. Once in my career as head of school, six staff members, disgruntled by budget cuts that affected salaries, wrote a grievance letter to the board requesting I be fired. Accused of actions I had not done and quoted out of context, I was faced with the most unpleasant judgment and criticism I'd ever encountered. When sitting before the board to defend myself and my actions, I prayed that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to God, the true one who judges. Ultimately, this coup failed, and I was asked to remain and lead the school. Three of the six accusers left for other jobs. Three remained. I learned to focus on forgiveness rather than reprisal. When I retired, I genuinely trusted and respected those three individuals. Judgment pervades our society, often in the form of verdicts determined in courts and boardrooms. We need to remember who the ultimate judge is. It is not us. And now I'm going to read the passage from Psalm 75. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks. Your name is near. People tell of your wondrous deeds. At the set time that I appoint, I will judge with equity. When the earth totters with all its inhabitants, it is I who keep its pillars steady. I say to the boastful, do not boast, and to the wicked, do not lift up your horn. Do not lift up your horn on high or speak with insolent neck. For not from the east or from the west and not from the wilderness comes lifting up. But it is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup with foaming wine, well mixed. He will pour a draught from it, and all the wicked of the earth shall drain it down to the dregs. But I will rejoice forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked I will cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. And the moving forward question for this Saturday, have you ever been judged unfairly? How did you respond? Now, as we near the end of the program and the end of this week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, August 3rd, the 8th Sunday of Pentecost. It begins with a passage from Ecclesiastes 1, verse 2b. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. 4 months each summer, my husband and I retreat to a small cottage on Lake Michigan, where a field of milkweed blooms in the backyard. Monarch butterflies feast on the flowers and lay eggs on the leaves. Once when our grown daughter was young, we placed a caterpillar in a jar and watched it metamorphosize. A miracle. Lately, however, few butterflies have arrived. Last summer, I counted only 30. Recently, I read that these beautiful creatures may be extinct in my lifetime. When I hear of another species elimination caused by human actions that have altered natural habitats and climate, I think about vanity and its double meaning of both conceit and futility. I tend to despair. Yet reading Ecclesiastes in its entirety changes my despair to hope. I'm reminded that the earth will remain after I am gone. And as humans, we can change what we have altered if we trust and follow God. We have the means, with God's help, to at least address, if not right, the wrongs in the world. And now I'll read from Ecclesiastes. The words of the teacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the teacher, when king over Israel in Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see all is vanity and a chasing after the wind. I hated all in my toil, in which I had toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to those who come after me. And who knows whether they will be wise or foolish? Yet they will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What do mortals get from all the toil and strain with which they toil under the sun? For all their days are full of pain, and their work is a vexation. Even at night their minds do not rest. This also is vanity. And the moving forward question for this day, where do you see vanity in your life? And what can you do to address it? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.